This is Will's Band of the Week for December 17th, 2023. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from the Kitchener Bureau.
Hello, everyone.
And Jason from the Monona, Wisconsin Bureau, usually known as the Green Monster, but since you're not actually in the studio, I didn't think I could say that.
Yeah, I'm upstairs because it's getting a little cold down there already.
No space heaters for you?
Yeah, but I don't want to damage the integrity of the recording quality with a space heater going, so I'm coming upstairs for everybody's benefit.
It is 28 Fahrenheit, and in our previous house, we had a room with a space heater in it, and we left it kind of heating the room for like a month, and it like doubled our electric bill. It was just crazy. You got to be careful with those space heaters, right? Power. Yeah. Whatever it takes, though, for the, you know, when you're down in the Green Monster, whatever vibe you need to get, it's the price is no object, right? You've got to have the perfect environment for, you know, to get that vibe, right?
You know, I'm usually fine without the heat down there when I'm actually recording or doing something because I'm moving around and keeping busy. But podcasting doesn't lend itself to keeping the internal body temperature up.
Right. It's a sedentary activity. You're going to start getting those notifications, you know, like my watch tells me when I haven't stood up.
Oh, yeah.
So it says, time to stand.
I've turned those off.
So yeah. You know what? You know what it's doing
I'm
to me now?
The consequences.
I set it up to do sleep tracking. And for some reason, the watch doesn't know that I'm asleep. And so I wake up in the middle of the night and my watch says, time to stand up, because I haven't been standing up. It's like, wait, you got this messed up, you know. It's supposed to be sleep tracking, not telling me to stand up. All right. Mm-hmm. Now to the more important things, like the best music or best albums, we should say,
yes,
of 2023. And you guys have really fun lists. You haven't seen each other's lists, have you?
No.
Okay, because that keeps it fun, right?
Yeah.
And
That's the rules.
I was saying last week with Chris, it's kind of fun doing these because you guys have done all the work and I'm just the moderator, kind of. I'm just going to sit back and be entertained.
Yes, let us entertain you.
So, should we just get right to it? You guys want to do any like introductory banter or should we just get to the lists?
Well, I got to say thank you for putting Red Pants in your top 10. It was a shock and an honor. Yes. To be included in your top 10.
Deservedly. Absolutely deservedly.
Well, it made my week.
It was a Red Pants kind of year. Just had to be acknowledged.
Yes. So,
very, very cool. Well, Anurag has to go first because he cheated and he had 11. Now, normally, I would say that is absolutely uncalled for. I'm going to just X out your number 11 because you cannot do that. But I'm going to make a special exception, and it'll become apparent why. Right, Anurag?
Yes. I have been listening to been in the podcast for, 13 years now?
Probably more. Something like that. Yep.
Yeah. So I get dibs.
Yeah. You've earned the right to have 11. That's what you're saying.
On what I have to do.
Yeah. That's right. It's a good point. I mean, Nicholas never follows the rules, so you shouldn't have to either.
That's true. Well, I wanted to talk about this album that I think just came out of nowhere and blew me away. It's this one right here.
He's showing us the Red Pants album cover, the vinyl.
Jason was kind enough to send to me. It's Red Pants, not quite there yet. And I just wanted to say that whenever somebody comes over to my house to look at my collection of vinyls that I have here, I always put this one out. I know this guy. I know him. He made this music. Let's listen to his music. It's always fun. Wow. And the song that I've been listening to quite a lot is The Witching Hour. It's something that's really, really awesome song. So what was your inspiration for the song? I've always wanted to ask that.
Oh, well, like the title came from when our youngest daughter was really little. Mm-hmm. And when she was a baby and she'd hit like 6 o'clock in the evening and she would become kind of a nightmare. And so we would always call that, like, it was kind of like, you got to get her to bed at a certain time, or it was like the witching hour.
Oh.
And so that's where, like, that sort of, I always kind of had that in the back of my head. And so I sort of worked backwards from there.
Yeah. No, I just like the way all the components, worked together, the noise, the fuzz.
Yeah.
And even enough droning, I could hear it even if you didn't do it intentionally. And that's really a good album.
Very yeah, before we like named it, it was called the Sonic Youth Song for a while. Okay. has some, especially in the jam section, has some very sonic chords and drones.
Awesome. Yes. So, yep. I just wanted to talk about that. That's why I said that I need to discuss. And because you were right, well, there's no way to put this at number one or number 10 or number five, because, we're so close to this album and the person who created it. So just wanted to mention this. That's all.
Yeah, we can't mention it and then not play it, right?
That's true. Witching Hour. Brilliant. Well done, man.
Well, thank you so much. It's so weird to get another feature.
You have to sit there and listen to your own music. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's weird also.
All right. That's a worthy number 11 or bonus pick or however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that means we get to go to Jason's number 10.
Okay. Well, all right. I think Will, you had this on your list, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. Yep.
Number 10, In Attendant Anna, Principia. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I think that they just kind of keep getting better and better with each release. I did pick out one of the longer tracks, so I'm going to be really finicky and ask if you can. I think the track is called Wonder. And yep. I'm hoping that you can fade it in at around, 2 minutes and 23 seconds or so.
Just
anywhere
around approximately 2 minutes, 23 seconds.
Just a guess.
All right. Yeah, I can handle that, I think. Here we go.
Okay.
This is In Attendant Anna.
Oh, I'm a fool.
That was a good editorial choice on the fade in because you got into some cool parts.
Yeah, it's got a great build and release in that song, and that was one of the first ones that really stood out to me on that album.
Yep.
But yeah, Inattendant Anna, keep it up.
From Paris, right?
Yeah, I've got nobody from California, but a couple from Paris this year.
That's cool. Makes you cool.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right. There's number 10. Anurag, what's number 10?
Number 10 is Godcaster and their album Godcaster. They're from Brooklyn. And the couple of articles that I've read about them say their live shows are a trip. So I'll be looking forward to that when and if they come to Toronto. And I've been listening to this quite a bit, and I found that they're really like Swans, but more chaotic. So it's right up my alley.
Mm.
They're loud, brashy, and vibrant.
Okay.
The song we'll listen to is Draw Breath Cry Out, or is it Draw Breathe Cry Out? I could never make that out.
Breath, I believe. Draw Breath Cry Out.
Okay. That's the song.
Godcaster. That's intense.
I should have done that strategic edit like Jason did. That's a long intro. I forgot about that.
It was a good build, though. Yeah, the song is 11 minutes and 47 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Keeps going. Yeah. They have a couple of songs that are like 11 minutes long.
I've heard of them. I think they played in Austin last year or maybe the year before, because I remember seeing the name, but I did not see them. But wow. Intense stuff. That's cool. Anurag's number 10, Godcaster. And now...
Oh, it's Godcaster. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I know. I thought it was Podcaster. takes on a whole different ring to it.
That's our band. Yeah. Podcaster. It's only a matter of time before there are Red Pants side projects, because you guys have so much indie rock stardom, right?
That's right.
Okay. What are we up to? Jason's number 9.
We're already in number 9.
Yep.
This is a band, Melanus. I had them on they were number 3 in my 2020 list. And Ahura is the name of the album. And they took a nice little left turn with all their electronics this album. And so Melanus, yep. And I'm going to go with the song Promises, or Promises, as Google translated it for me earlier today.
All right, here we go. Melanus.
Mm-hmm.
Milena's, Jason's number 9. They were also on Chris's list. And, you know, when I first listened to this, it was kind of off-putting because there I hadn't gone back and listened to the older stuff, but I was expecting more guitar rock.
Yeah.
And I think you made mention of that, that it's they took a synth kind of turn, but they totally pulled it off, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. Like, especially with softer tracks where they incorporate it, it's great. And there's still some guitar in there. I feel like it was not like it wasn't like going from OK Computer to Kid A. It was like, you know, it was like in between there somewhere.
Right. Yeah. All right. Very good. We're off to a great start. This is really fun. Anurag.
Yes.
What is number 9?
Number 9 is Leslie Feist, her album Multitudes.
You can't have a Feist album and have Anurag ignore it.
Yes, that's true. This is her 6th album. We've discussed about it quite a bit in the podcast we did earlier. And I just wanted to mention that I did see her live this year, and it was really one of the best concerts I've been to. Not as good as The Smile, but it's up there. So the album focuses on the birth of her daughter and the death of her father, and she's created this beautiful, beautiful soft music, and it's a nice transition from Godcaster to Feist. So let's listen to the song Calling All the Gods.
Different kinds of people. Many are good and true. I'll never know where this stranger came from.
Feist from the Multitudes album. Anurag's number 9.
I think she's got enough clout now that she is now going to do another event in Massey Hall, actually 2 nights, where the tickets are selling for a good $300. So
wow.
She's cashing it in.
Wow.
And good for her. She deserves it. And I forgot to tell you that when I was at the concert, I looked over to my right and I saw this guy. I said, he looks really familiar. I know him from somewhere. It took me a little while to figure out it was Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene. Right next to me enjoying Leslie Feist's music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brush with fame. She was in Broken Social Scene, wasn't she, in the very beginning?
Yeah, she got a start. Yeah. I'm not going to say start. She collaborated with them in a few songs. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep, good stuff.
All right, cool. We are now up to Jason's number 8. Another fun one. And he's going to stay over in Europe, right?
That's right. I don't know if I brought this up when we reviewed them. Half of the band is actually went to college here in Madison. And that is, of course, a special friend. My number one, I think, of 2021. And they're coming in 8. The album, what was the album called? Wait Until the Flames Come Rushing In. That's right. And I liked this one I mean, quite a bit. It's just like an incredibly strong year, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I loved so many albums this year. So it's down here at number 8. And I picked out the track. I went back and, you know, double checked which songs we had picked when we played it and when we talked about it. And you had predicted that I would play this song. So now we get to make the prediction come true with the track Applause.
Just had to wait till the end of the year, and then I was right. All right, here we go. Applause. Special friend, that is Jason's number 8, and they're from Paris, also, right?
Yeah, oh. I think the guy is from there, and then Erica, the drummer, is from the States. I don't know where, but I know that she went to Madison at one point, maybe Minneapolis or something like that. Is where she's from, but they did tell me over Instagram that she attended UW.
Oh, that's cool.
For a time at some point. Yeah, I think if the album had been more like that song, it would have been higher for me. But like it just was, yeah, I don't know.
It has some super highlights, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not
and
quite
there's,
as...
There's nothing like bad about it, obviously. It's in right. my top 10, but I just love it when they rock out.
Right, right. Well, I think one reason that I thought you were going to pick that is because it has... the most Red Pants style sound.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're a little more moody, atmospheric, but those yeah. tracks are also really great. So
yeah.
All right.
Very strong.
Special friend. That's Jason's number 8.
That song was really good, man. Yep.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Now we're at, Anurag's number 8.
Yes. My number 8 is Anhony and the Johnsons. The album My Back Was a Bridge for You to Cross.
And I've seen this on some other lists, and I've never even heard it. So you're going to introduce us to it.
Yeah, and Honey, the last time I heard her music was when she released her solo album. I didn't know she had a backup band until 2010. So this is 2010, 2012, and this is the first album with them after almost 10 odd years. And so I was more familiar with the solo work, which was really good, but sporadically. Like the whole album didn't really do much for me, but this album, like holy cow, just blew me away. And I really, really like her voice. I think she used to be called Antoni before she had came out as transgender, and she changed her name to Anhony. I think that's the thing, don't quote me on it. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, this is our typical level of music journalism.
Yeah. It's so funny. I've been reading a few articles about her and the band every now and then, but I still don't know. So that's my extent of my journalism. That's true. So this is an out-and-out political album with a focus on environmental exploitation. That's the closest I can come to describing this album. Yeah, it's really good. Powerful stuff.
All right. What track are we going to play?
So I had chosen Rest, but the song really builds up towards the end. But we'll let the listeners just listen to it at their own time. I should have chosen some other song, but let's listen to Rest.
Okay, to start at the beginning, or should we come in the middle?
Oh, no, just start at the beginning. Yeah, okay. Let it just play.
Rest like the soul of a diamond. Rest like a woman in a field of wheat. Rest and she'll come home to you. She'll come home to you. Rest like the soul flight of Mercury. Rest like your hunger.
That's Anoni and the Johnsons, and I've actually seen it listed both ways. Sometimes it just says Anoni, like my streaming service just says Anoni, but I've seen it also with the Johnsons on there too. So
I don't know how that works. So I've known her as Anoni from her solo work. So yep. So the song that we was listening to, it has a killer solo. That I highly recommend everybody to at least listen to it once.
And that's cool.
This album is really awesome. Yep.
So we smirk at Pitchfork reviews, right? Because we're like too cool for Pitchfork. But but when they do give something a really high rating, it's definitely that there's respect in the music industry or whatever, right? This album got an 8.7, which is amazingly high for a Pitchfork review, and best new music, of course, it was back in I think July.
Oh, so cool.
All right, cool. That's a good one.
So Pitchfork agrees with me, basically.
They do. Yeah. You're at a little higher level of sophistication than the rest of us, Anurag. So you agree with the Pitchfork people. Yeah. Okay, Jason, what is your number 7 album of 2023?
Well, my number 7 is Feeling Figures, Migration Magic, and this album came out late November and shouldn't be on here. But I just like it blew up my top 10 list. I think even when I emailed you guys to set this up, I already had my top 10 in place, and then I second guessed myself and I thought this needs to be in the top 10. Like it needs to just bump the number 10 place. But I've just been obsessively listening to it so much that I'm like, it's going up to number 7. That's as high as I can give it. I feel like if I had more time with it, it might go up higher, but it
keeps climbing the more you listen. Yeah.
Yep. So, it's great. It's like, it's a 4-piece band. I think it's primarily two, songwriters. It's got girl boy vocals, which we like. Mm-hmm. It's lo-fi to mid-fi, pretty lo-fi. It's everybody, sounds like everybody's just in the room playing together. It's just right up my alley. I've been looking forward to it. So I kind of, as soon as it came out, I jumped right into it. And, which song did I pick. Across the Line. I think it's track two.
All right. Feeling Figures. Feeling Figures. My music journalism that I just did has determined they're from Montreal.
True.
I've never heard of this band before, though. That was good music, man.
Yeah, she's great. They're all great, but I really love her voice, and yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I think it was the first I've heard of it, too, when I saw it on your list. I sampled the rest of the album a little bit, too, and it's cool. So
it's a real grower.
Over three weeks
that I've had.
They should have put it out in March. You would have had plenty of time to let it sink in.
They might have been number one.
And then they would have made their millions by then.
Yeah, I know. They're going to have to wait for the decade list, I guess. Yeah. And see if they last that long.
All right. That's great. Feeling Figures, Jason's number seven. And now, Anurag's number seven.
Before my number seven, I have some breaking news. I just saw this on my feed. I don't know if you guys are fans of Brooklyn 99.
I just saw that too.
I've heard of it.
You just saw that too? Andre Brower, is that how it's pronounced? He died. Oh my God. He was just 60 years old. 61. What the hell?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad.
Just holy cow. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's a bit of a downer, but that's
a total bummer.
Yeah, let's see if we can lighten up the mood. My number seven is a band that's been around for, I think, a really long time, and this is the first album I've heard from them, the Brian Johnstown Massacre.
No, that's a way to lighten it up, Anurag.
Yeah. With a band name with the title Massacre in it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're total indie rock veterans. And
this is the 20th album. I never even heard of these guys before.
Man, 20 albums.
I was I think now it's probably like 3 or 4 years ago. Well, it couldn't have been 3 years ago. Nothing happened 3 years ago. That was 2020. So probably four to 5 years ago, my wife and I took this trip, and we were at this really cool brew pub with an outdoor seating area, and they had those fire pits. And it was just a beautiful evening, and we're sitting there having a beer, and they had really cool music on the sound system. I'm like, wow, they have pretty good taste. And then the song came on that was really cool, and I didn't know what it was, so I used that Shazam program or whatever it is, and it was the Brian Johnstown Massacre.
Wow. So
I think they had like a few songs that were like sort of popular, so it was probably one of those. But anyway, so yeah, I'm curious to hear this new one.
Yeah, and when I Googled them a bit, the first thing that came up was that they had a big brawl in Australia. The lead singer, Newcomb, and yeah, the Anton. Guitarist. And yeah, that Anton, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a brawl while performing on stage, and they started hitting each other.
Yeah, I saw that too.
What? they had to actually cancel the rest of the tour.
It'd be like if Jason and Elsa were playing, and Elsa got mad and like came out from the drum kit and slugged Jason and stormed off the stage. Can you imagine? Yeah.
That's how we end every practice.
Oh, that's funny. So what was I going to say? So this album is, I think the best way I can describe it is it's anthemic, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
It's groovy and the lyrics are stellar. And I would really like to see them live and hope they break out into another brawl. And that'd be fun to watch. But going by some of the comments, I did read that this is not their best album. So I'm looking forward to, going through the catalog and see what else they have. So the song we'll listen to is The Light Is About to Change.
The Bryant Jonestown Massacre from San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And you know how it's interesting when bands are kind of a combination of styles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you can hear a lot of different sort of styles in that song. But if you look at the Wikipedia page under genres for this band, this is what it says. Psychedelic rock, garage rock, shoegaze, neo-psychedelia, folk rock, blues rock, country rock. It's like, okay.
So they just take a puzzle of words and just throw it on the fridge and
yeah,
whatever it says.
Yeah. What an interesting band, though.
I'm looking forward to it. I didn't realize in 2022, just 6 months before they released this album, they had released another album. So this guy is really cooking right now. So
yeah.
Let's see. Yes. Anton Newcomb, he is 56 years old.
Oh, so our age.
He's an aging rocker. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a lot older than Jason.
Yeah, we all are, aren't we?
Jason doesn't have aging rocker status yet.
Nope.
Oh. In 10 years or so, you can wear that as a badge of honor, but okay, not yet. I think I was talking to my family members. I was talking to somebody about, what age can you call, what would you say, aging rocker? Of course, we don't really use it the same way maybe other people would use it, but I think you got to at least be 50.
Okay.
Maybe even and 60.
Also, you have to have the image, too. You got to have the dad bod, the balding patch.
There's a transition, though, from, dad rock to aging rocker? Because, I don't know if... The National and, the National, they're a lot younger than Wilco, right? They're 10 years younger than Wilco, right? Mm-hmm. So, or even more, right? I don't know. So they'd be dad rock, but are they really aging rockers yet? I don't even know.
I always thought dad rock was a reference to music from the Bruce Springsteen era. That's my assumption, but I didn't know there was age associated with it.
I'm
older than that.
I might be wrong too. I figure that I would figure it just changes as whatever, you know, dads would listen to, you know.
Yeah, so. I guess.
Okay. Brian Jonestown Massacre, fun pick on rock. So now we are up to Jason's number 6, right? Are we really up to number 6?
We're number 6, yep. A little band called Yola Tango. we've talked about them a few times on the podcast, I think. They're, you know, one of my probably top 3 favorite bands ever. I think this is maybe the first time I've had an album of theirs in the top 10 in quite a while. It's been at least a few albums, I think. Probably not since their album Fade, which I don't remember what year that came out in. And I didn't do my research. But the last couple, I haven't felt like they've raised up to the status of top 10-ness. But they were back this year, and I picked the lead song, the Sinatra Drive Breakdown. You can just start at the beginning, let it go as long as you want to go. I was so happy to hear this when it first came out, because it was just like, thank God, like, they're back.
Yeah. We might not really do it justice. It's a 7.5-minute track, but
First couple of minutes or whatever is great.
We'll just let the listeners want more. The album is called This Stupid World. Jason's number 6, Yola Tango. That is Yola Tango, who, as we speak, are performing for David for third or fourth night in a row in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I think they're on day 6 overall, maybe, of the Hanukkah festival that they do.
Yep. They do this residency, and they've been doing it for several years now.
Yeah.
Really cool.
I think they don't, repeat a song the entire week, or a week and a day.
That's nuts. And then they have unannounced openers and special guests, right?
Yeah, and tonight David was messaging us that Beach House was the surprise opener.
Wow.
Yep.
And usually the openers will kind of set in, so hopefully there'll be some videos that pop up and see if the folks from Beach House set in with Yola Tango, see what they do.
David should be in the videos because he's right in the front all the time.
Yeah, he's got prime spot in front of Ira.
He takes his rightful spot.
He's probably holding the lyric sheet for Ira.
Ira plays so loud. I feel like that would just kill my ears night after night.
I remember the second vinyl that I ever bought was Yola Tango's album, and I bought it primarily because I think you had it on your old show, and I liked it because of the name. I am not afraid of you, and I will beat your ass.
That's a great album title.
Yeah,
and yeah, so thankfully the album was amazing. So,
They've got a string of like they have a lot of great albums. It's a legendary band for sure. All right, that was a great one. It's pretty fun to hear them still rocking. Oh, the other thing I was going to mention is I remember David saying Lee Ranaldo from Sonic Youth. He just showed up, like I think last year.
Wow.
I mean,
Well, that's Yola Tango, right?
We touched on this before. The only thing they could really do to beat what they've been doing is to get Red Pants jamming. All right. That's awesome. Jason's number six. All right. We are up to Anurag's number six now.
Yes. My number six, and I continue with the folky music that I like quite a bit, is Helena DeLand, her album Goodnight Summerland.
And I feel bad because she's a friend of the podcast. We've had her on the podcast. And this album came out late in the year, and there were just too many things to listen to. And then I felt like it was somewhat of a quieter album, and I needed to give it time to, you know, just to sink in. And I never got that time. So it's definitely on my list of things that I will be listening to in the future. So I'm glad you found the time, Anurag. And it's your number six.
I was going to go see her show. So I said, I need to know her music. So I forced myself to listen to it. And I'm glad I did because, I saw her at the Horseshoe Tavern in Toronto. And she made this album soon after her mom had passed away. I think she had a few songs ready, but the rest was all related to her mom. And it's like frills-free, basic, lo-fi album, graceful. And I think it establishes her as a great songwriter. So the song I chose is Spring Bug.
Helena DeLand, the album is Goodnight Summerland, Anurag's number six.
Another one who looks so much younger in person than in the photographs. I think the other one we discussed was Bully, right?
Right, yeah.
Like you look at her, like, oh my God, she's a teenager. She's so young.
It's just you're getting older, Anurag, than everybody else by comparison seems younger.
That's true. Shot in my heart. Okay.
So I don't know if we mentioned, from Montreal. Canadian, and Montreal is getting a good representation on this year's top 10 lists. Wow. Really good one.
Yes.
Okay. Jason, We're up to number 5 now. We're in the upper half of the top 10.
Mm. Can you believe it?
We're just rocking right along here.
For those who can't see, Jason is struggling with his cat.
I heard the purr. I didn't see the. Yeah, I don't have you on the screen here, but I can hear the purr.
I kicked him off of me. So number 5. Back after, I should have had the stat. It's either 16 or 19 years. They took a long break. This band from Austin called the American Analog Set. And nobody had any idea that this album was coming out. And then all of a sudden, I think it was actually announced by a record store in Austin that they were going to be carrying it. And then... And I immediately bought it. Like, I was kind of messaging with a friend over the internet. Like, is this legit? So we were like, I guess. Like, let's just go ahead and buy it. So we both, you know, went ahead and put the money down for the vinyl. But then within an hour, I think, American Analog Set announced it. And, yeah, it's weird for a band to take that long off, and I've gotten really into them over the pandemic, and especially their earlier albums, and they kind of evolved, and so I got more into like their later albums, like the last two or three albums this past year, and so I kind of want them to sound like their early albums, but they didn't sound like it's completely different, I feel like. So I don't know, but I like everything that they do, and this is right in the wheelhouse of good stuff from them. What track did I pick out? I picked out By the Bridle.
The American Analog Set.
Wow. That was good.
Yeah. I remember the band, but I don't know if I ever listened to them. It's kind of like Drop 19s, right? It's like one of those old bands that I didn't even hear that much. And now they come up with a comeback album, and it's really good. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really solid. It's like this album, I don't know, it's really long. It's like 13 songs. I didn't pick my favorite song, which is like the title track for Forever. That's like a really 11 minute long sort of slow building kraut rocky jam. They're known like for their Farfisa organs Fender Rhodes, like all these cool vintage keyboards, you know, back in the 90s that were probably horrible to tour with. Like back then, I can't imagine how, you know, being weirdos in Texas, touring around with all these keyboards, playing really quiet music.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they're back. They're actually another record label is reissuing their first three albums on vinyl, like this big box set that that I couldn't help but just go for today. A little early Christmas present to Jason.
Oh, that's cool.
Very good stuff, cool. Man.
All right. Anurag.
Yes.
What's your number five?
Cable ties.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun one.
Plans. This is Sleater Kinney. And I love their ferociousness and their to-the-point lyrics. Amazing, amazing stuff. Can never go wrong with the song Silos.
All right, here we go. Cable ties on Rock's number five. Cable ties. Yeah, that's a really good album. It's like there's a bit of variety on it, you know, kind of even for a band of that style, surprising amount of variety on it, which is really cool. And I agree, it's kind of Sleater Kinney influenced.
Definitely.
And I'm going to go see Sleater Kinney, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
They're touring in the spring. Nice. They're coming to the Sylvie, Jason. As is always. I just bought tickets for that, too.
I don't know if I can see Sleater Kinney after No Janet Weiss.
Yeah, I know
that broke my heart.
Yeah, that's a sad thing. Yeah.
I thought you said always. Yeah, I would like to do that.
I thought you said Always was not a very good live act.
Well, I've always said that they're not quite as good live as their albums, but their albums are so good that three quarters as good as their albums is still great.
That's true too.
And you know, they've been touring like crazy, so I kind of think maybe they've gotten better as a live band, so it'll be fun to see.
Yeah, okay. They're going to be in the they're going to be like, right, you know, like a well-oiled machine by the time they come back there.
You'd think so. Yeah. All right, we got diverted a little there. Cable ties, cool album. That's Anurag's number five. And now we are up to Jason's number five. No, wait a minute.
We're number four. We're moving ahead of you.
Okay. Jesus Christ. You know what happened? Anurag completely threw me off because, like, when I have, like, a top 10, I can look at it and I know, like, looking backwards, like, how far I need to just, like, focus myself to know what track we're on. But when Anurag added number 11, for Red Pants, I'm looking at an 11-song playlist instead of 10, and I get completely thrown off. So it's all Anurag's fault.
Damn Red Pants album.
Okay. It's Red Pants' fault. Okay.
Yeah.
If you put out a bad album instead, Jason, then we wouldn't have this problem.
We wouldn't have to talk about it.
All right. Okay.
Such good music. Stop it.
I'm all done. That's it. I'm done.
All right. We are up to Jason's number four album of 2023.
Which is Gadge, right?
Yes. It's probably Gadge, I would think.
I think Gadge.
Yeah.
Somewhere Down Below. We talked about this album. I gushed over them. I'm obsessed with this new Pittsburgh scene.
Yeah.
That's everywhere. And we don't have to go into this. I love this album. And there are like three out of the top four albums here that are coming up where I just feel like I had them on shuffle for a good part of the year. I picked out the title track somewhere down below.
Gadge, part of the cool Pittsburgh scene. It's Jason's number four. The album is Somewhere Down Below.
I totally forgot about this.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that it didn't make your top 10. Well, but that's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, you fill in where I miss, where I have misses. Yep. Yeah, definitely liked that album. All right, very cool. Anurag, what's the number four album? Oh my god, this is so great. This is just I'm looking at this track and I don't even know what it you go ahead and describe.
Yes,
it.
Yeah. So basically you know how in I think Spotify does this thing called Wrapped, where it shows you what your data was as far as music is concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm on YouTube Music, so they do something similar called Recap. And in Recap, they said the music mood that you have been listening to this year, 25 to 26% of it has been sad and melancholy. Mm-hmm. And I think most part of that comes from this album, number four. It's by, I think it's pronounced Carly Malone. Is that right? Carly Malone. This album is Does Spring Hide Its Joy? And this album is essentially what I think Red Band should be. It's basically just a drone. That's all it is. A drone sound with layering of guitar and I'm forgetting what else, but like just two or three instruments and like a very basic sound. But if you listen to it closely, you can kind of hear what it is. It's a really long album, 5 hours and 40 minutes. And the song
he said that right. It's 5 hours long.
five hours and 40. And no, I have not heard the whole of it ever. I haven't even heard the song that we're listening to is like 1 hour long. There's no way you can listen to it.
But it is.
It has been constant. Like when I want to focus, when I want to just, you know, just have something in the background playing, I listen to this. In fact, I was listening to this morning. The song is... it is also a pandemic album. So this person and her husband and her friend made this album. So it's that's why it's probably so moody. The song is Does Spring Hide Its Joy version 2.
Okay.
And it'll start from minute 6 and go on to until you're done with it.
this is where I was laughing because the track's an hour long, and you said it's kind of a long track, probably maybe start 2 minutes in or something. Like, right, it's an hour long. Okay, you said a minute six is where we're going to start this.
No, 6 minutes.
Oh, 6 minutes. Okay, there we go. Yeah. That's Callie Malone. The album, Does Spring Hide Its Joy?
Yes.
And we heard, what, about 1/100th of the album there? Of the five-hour album.
Yeah, it's mesmerizing, if you're into this stuff. Otherwise, yeah, it's stupid.
Did you say that was version two?
Yeah. So
the
she has
version
all her songs.
One on the,
yeah, all
on
her
the
songs
album?
Are named Does Spring Hide Its Joy? And then version something, version something, version something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. I thought maybe there was like an alternate track left on the cutting room floor that was version one or something. But
No.
Well, this gives me a lot to jump off of for the next Red Pants album. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to go.
The five-hour album.
Figured it out.
That's right. If you just have this, at least you have one fan.
I was thinking, can they take this album and then next year there'll be like a Daft Punk remix or something, right? They could put some dance beat drums over it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just sort of fade them in and then go.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool, Anurag. That's outside the box of the standard choice that we would make.
I was thinking, what if you ran a marathon and timed it to be the exact amount of, try to get your miles, like the exact amount of time the album lasts, then you could listen to the entire thing.
No, honestly, after half an hour, you do get bored. Okay, I think I need to listen to something else now. But yeah, I just keep coming back to this. It's the perfect album for me. Yep.
Cool. Jason, what's the number three album of 2023?
Okay, this blew up my three albums that I was talking about where I had them on shuffle because Gadge was up to number three, but then this one snuck in at the very last minute here. Luzberg, who we talked about last month or so. I don't know. I just love this band. I don't think when we talked about them, I don't think we really got to feature the female vocalist. So I figured we would do that today with the track. Well, I should say, again, the album is called Out and About. And I picked out the track Without a Doubt.
Cowbeans will grow on a shelf. You might conjure stats
That's Luisburg. Jason's number three. Is it the Netherlands? Amsterdam?
That sounds right. I don't remember.
Somewhere over there in Europe.
Yeah.
Jason's got a European flair for sure this year.
I do this year. It's so weird. I'm usually like four bands from California and not a one. I don't know. It's strange.
They're not from Amsterdam. They're from Rotterdam.
But I was close.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a Spotify for the family thing, and my top five bands played. Somehow they were number three. I don't know how. I did just kind of put their entire catalog on shuffle a lot, so that must have been what happened. But it's sort of
interesting.
I couldn't believe, just like over the last couple of months, they were apparently my third favorite band of the year.
I got that data too, and it was telling me what I listened to most. And one thing that was interesting, one or two of the things I listened to the most were obviously things that I liked, but they weren't in my top 10, but they were sort of challenging albums where I kept listening over and over because I was like, I got to get this. I got to try to get this. And, you know, it turned out to be rewarding, but yeah, you know, that's kind of, you know, there are some albums that are that way, right? You like some little thing hooks you and you're like, I got to listen to this again.
Well, I feel like doing the podcast always sort of fudges the numbers anyway, because you spend 2 weeks like really deeply listening to the Wilco album and then you never listen to it again.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I don't know if it gets a ton of plays that week that it could alter your top track.
The data throws off the data.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Yeah.
Luisburg. It's a good number three. These are all great. There are no bad picks here. They're awesome. Anurag, number three.
Number three, Sufjan Stevens, Javelin.
Somebody had to put this in there. I think it's pretty solid. You know, it couldn't even dent Chris's list, and Chris is kind of a longtime fan. But
yeah,
surprised. I guess I feel like it's not. You know, my favorite album by him was the Carrie and Lowell album. Mm-hmm. So probably just impossible to reach that level. But I thought this was a very good album.
Yeah, I would rank it as number three, Carrie and Lowell and Illinois and this one from him. And it just astounds me that even after 10 albums, he just comes out with songs that are so raw and so thought-provoking. I don't know many artists who can do that. But yeah, so let's listen to the song Shit Talk.
Sufjan Stevens, the album Javelin, Anurag's number three. Mm-hmm. That song is, the whole thing is 8.5 minutes. And he pulls it off somehow.
He does, yep.
And
he tours soon and gets better soon.
Nobody sounds like Sufjan Stevens, right? First of all, nobody has the name Sufjan. So you start with that. And that sound of his guitar, and is that a mandolin? What's that thing that he mixes with his guitar? It sounds like something like that. And the way he records it, and then the way he's got that whispery vocal and everything, yeah. It's just like, it's like a trademark thing that nobody else does the same, which is really cool about him.
I agree.
I did see him live with Chris about, 10 years ago at least, probably. Wow. And it was when he had that album. Remember the album, The Age of Ads, spelled with mm-hmm. a Z? I think that's what it was called. It didn't get really good reviews, and he had this really big band, and I thought it was really good, actually. He had, like, a saxophone player and a trumpet player or something, and it's this really big band. I thought it was great. I did not get to see the Carrie and Lowell tour or anything more recent, which I would love to see. So,
yeah.
Great artist.
I hope he recovers soon. Yeah, he's got...
Yeah, he got right? sick. He was in the hospital, and I guess he's out, but they sounded like he's still not 100% yet. So,
yeah.
All right. Keep on rocking, Sufjan. Jason, what is the album that would have been number one, except it got beaten out by number one?
Oh.
And therefore is number two. I love this album so much.
I do too. I went back and forth. Like, this could have been number one. There were, at various points of the year, I was like, this is my number one album. But this guy is so young. Can a young...
Is he even like 20? He's like 19 or 20 or something.
Yeah. So it's Sharp Pens, which relates back to last year's number one of Horse Girl, because they're all in Chicago. Well, I think Horse Girl has moved off to New York, but... You know, they're all friends, and they're all young, and but they're all doing such good things. Like, I feel like his songwriting chops are really strong for such a young person. I think I even messaged you at one point in the year. I was like, okay, we got to talk about the Sharp Pens album. And you're like, I've already talked about it, Jason, months ago. And so I had to go back and re-listen to the podcast because I knew I'd listened to it. But anyway.
I can't remember where I found it, but the guy is also in the band Lifeguard. And it's the young hipster Chicago scene or whatever.
Yeah, which Lifeguard I haven't like really connected with yet, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I've tried because I like this so much and I like Horse Girl so much that I feel like I should. But
absolutely,
Hopefully, one day it'll happen. But I love this Sharp Pens album, Turtle Rock. What a great album name! and then Betty Waite is one of my favorite songs off the album.
Sharp Pens.
That's good rock and roll music.
It really is. And the album is just so creative and full of cool. Like the title track is so great, right? It's just, I don't even, I play it and I say to myself, I don't even know what that is. Like, what am I going to say? It's like, it's like the really cool early really creative days of Guided by Voices, kind of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, he's got the lo-fi recordings and the songwriting, just combine that all. It's just really fun. I was just, it was fighting to make my top 10 and,
got beat out.
Yeah.
At number 10.
But I love it.
Well, again, I'm happy to be here to give it its day in the sun.
Yep. Yep.
Fill in the gaps.
That's right.
Anurag. Yes. What's the number two album of 2023?
Number two album of 2023 is Nicole Dollenganger. I hope I pronounced it right. Her real name is Nicole Ann Bell. She's from Scarborough, Ontario, which means she's literally at the back of my house. Actually, not really. She's about 2 hours away.
Backyard and barbecue, close enough, you know.
Close enough, yes. Yeah. I almost saw her, but the day she was having, the day I was supposed to go see her show, not her, my dog felt sick and my wife and daughter were in New York City doing their mother-daughter thing that they like to do. So I lost this chance. This is her seventh album. She is what is called a gothic folk song singer and writer, a gothic folk. Hmm. I never heard of this term before. I like it, so I'm going to use it more often now. And the song, basically, the album is really brutal. It's gorgeous. The voice is sweet, but the message is all horror, crime, illness, domestic violence, longing for true love. So the song we'll listen to is called Bad Man, in which she has killed her lover because he was an abuser and she doesn't want him to die, but he's dying. So,
oh man.
Nice message to everyone.
Nice light entertainment from Anurag.
Okay. Light entertainment. Oh, that's a good term. Yep.
Nicole Dollenganger. Nicole Dollenganger, the album is called Married in Mount Airy. Mm-hmm. That is Anurag's number two.
It's an excellent listen.
So is it a whole album of that kind of mood?
Yeah.
And stripped down,
yeah,
you know, acoustic like that?
That's why I really wanted to see her show. I was very curious on how she would pull that off live, but I couldn't go.
Your dog. It's the dog's
fault. My dog. Yeah. My dog takes precedence, so.
Oh, man. bad dog, right?
That's okay.
Bad doggy. All right. Man, you know what we ought to do now? I think we need to play Nicholas's drum roll. Mm-hmm. It's great, right? He's got a great lo-fi. He could be Red Pants recording engineer with that lo-fi sound.
Right? Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. All right. The absolute finest album of 2023.
Is X Pilots, self-titled X Pilots. Yeah. Guided by Voices. Four track, lo-fi. Yeah. I love, you know, it's an obvious sound that I love. And I just couldn't get enough of this one. There's this one, Sharp Pens, and Gadge were just like in heavy rotation all throughout the year as I discovered them. And I think this one takes the cake. Maybe the standout track. I don't know. I had picked out the last song, but then I was listening to my playlist of songs I picked out in the car, and I thought, well, if I'm going to try to sell somebody on this album, I'm going to go with the song Too Far.
All right, let's sell some people on X Pilots. Here we go. Minute 26. I don't think X Pilots will sue us for playing the whole track, will they? I think I might have left out like 1 second of the fade out there. So it's not the whole track.
Drum roll at the end. Yeah, man, that could have fit in on any 90s Guided by Voices album, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
it's like a long lost GBV track.
We should mention that X Pilots and Gadge have a common member, Ethan Oliva. Who's also the front man for Barlow, which I just love. I've had Barlow on my top 10, I think, twice. So
yeah, it was nice to go back and listen to the Barlow discography a lot this year as well after finding this.
Yep.
It keeps himself busy, huh?
It's great stuff. I love it. X Pilots and Sharp Pins were just battling for my top 10. And I ended up picking X Pilots. So I have them in the same order as you. You have X Pilots just barely beating out Sharp Pins.
Yeah.
The consistency is just a little bit better. There's a couple tracks on the Sharp Pins album that I didn't totally connect with. So this is a high standard, right? It's like if you're in the Olympics and you like, you know, trip like one time, you know, then you don't get a 10 out of 10. So you can have like great albums. And then if you're trying to rank, which is dorky already, we all know that, but
with my top 10 I had to go in and analyze things, and I got my whole number system that I had to bring back from I hadn't done that in forever because I could not figure out, you know, I had to rank them or like give them all ratings, and so like X Pilots was like 4.9 something, like 9.5 or 4.93 out of 5.
Anurag, didn't you do that one year? Like some kind of spreadsheet where you took like the various criteria?
I still do it.
Do you really?
I think the snapshot I send you, it's from the Excel spreadsheet.
Oh,
it's I've got it open here.
It's
and
behind
I,
the
I have
scenes.
Like 52 albums that I.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's great.
I take this stuff seriously, man.
Yeah, you guys really. I mean, I'm a lot more seat of the pants, but you know. Yeah.
So X-Pilots on my list is at 41. Sorry, Jason.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay. It's more for me.
Yes, it is.
Anurag, it's your turn to choose your favorite album of 2023.
This is a Scottish group that we discussed on the podcast called Young Fathers.
Yes, we did.
And their album Heavy Heavy. And I was going to go to this show in October until 24 hours before the show. I got a notice saying it's been moved to April next year. And it's going to be back to back with Ottobock Beaver that I'm going to see as well. So my wife is not going to be happy to be gone in 1 week twice to Toronto. So that'll be fun conversation to have with her. I like how drums are really prominent in this album. They're like the driving force, I think. I hope I'm right. And I just noticed why I like this album is because anytime I listen to any song, when I put it on a shuffle and it comes up, I just feel good. And that's why I like this album. And all the songs are so optimistic and they're full of, you know, message that take care of yourself, take care of your mental health. And I also learned that it took them 3 years to record this. I don't know why it took them so long. This is crazy. Anyway, the song I chose is called Drums.
Hear the beat of the drums and go now. Have fun, go on. We don't need other ones to have one. So have one, someone. Hear the beat of the drums and go now. Have fun. Sleep, but they say better stay awake. Faded colors into shade, turning matter into clay. I fall the mission, no superstition. I am the vision, young black gifted with ambition. Yeah. Got all the wishes like Aloysius, but I'm a loisius. Master call straight from the voice, so I'ma get me some. So I'ma get me some. I never claim to be no role model. Some. I never claim to be no role model. But I love my mom. Now I'm done.
Young Fathers, the album Heavy, Heavy. That is Anurag's number one album of 2023. Yes. it's great. Yeah, it was fun talking about that a couple months ago on the regular episode.
That's true.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to the show. Should be good fun.
It's good. You got to amass some tickets. I've been buying tickets lately. I think it's just like, I got to see some live music, you know? That I haven't seen a whole lot. I think I'm going to see somebody tomorrow night, but I won't talk about that now. So that's it. Do we just sign off now? Do you guys want to talk about your, almost made the list or any, or you could do your top live shows. You can do whatever you want. You've got an open, the whole internet's listening right now. Jason, you want to go first?
Yeah, a few of my honorable mentions. I'm sorry to California. I'm sorry to Cindy, Tony J, and Seablight, and the all-time great Slow Dive and Blonde Redhead. I loved all their albums.
Oh, my God. Listen to all that. Yeah.
It's just like there's only so many spots. And I had a lot of lo-fi rock that I had to squeeze in there this year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You only get 10.
Yeah, I know.
Or 11.
11, yeah, if you cheat.
I can make that veto call, I guess. I was going to cover Blonde Shell, Bully, Big Brave, Yola Tango, and Squid. Actually, I'm going to go see Squid next year. I've already bought their tickets.
Oh, that's fun stuff.
To that. Yes.
Yeah. I've listened to them. They're sort of challenging, right? Do they do a little talk singing? I think they do.
Yeah, but I really like their album, Oh Monolith. Is that the one? Yeah, I think so.
Sounds right.
And they are surprisingly in a big venue. So I think they must have gotten there in that Phoenix concert. It holds about 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see. And I'm really looking forward to Otoboke Beaver.
I'm glad you are, because they're polarizing. They're like Barrett's favorite band, and then a couple other of the correspondents just like don't get it at all. And I really like them. I saw them in Austin, and the crowd was just going just nuts. The crowd goes nuts. Like there's a lot of bands where the crowd goes nuts, right? But the band is crazy. Like that just the fact that they can play that really fast, frenetic stuff, and the beats are crazy. They stop and start, and they're completely in sync, you know. And they and the guitar player is just like running all over the place, playing this crazy stuff. The drummer plays drums that you think are they seem just impossible. You're like, how can anybody do that? So it's in addition to being
that I really want to pay attention to. Like, how can she play that?
Yeah,
the whole set. It's must be such a workout. My God,
they've been kind of earning paying their dues for so long. I think they played at South by Southwest for like 5 or 6 years in a row. They just kept coming back, and you know they get a little bit more popular each year. And now they're like doing this big tour. So yeah, that's fun. You'll love it.
I'm also gonna go see Ty Segall. But that's on a Friday, and so it'll be intense negotiations with my wife to let me go on a Friday. We'll see.
All right. You seem to be pretty good at negotiating, so.
No, I'm not. Not with my wife. I may sound very confident, I'm not.
Do you have any honorable mentions or anything you want to
mention? Yeah, I mentioned Bully. Blonde Shell.
Oh, that's right. You already
Big
mentioned
Brave,
them. Yeah.
Squid. Yeah, Squid. Yeah. So
we saw Chris and I saw Blonde Shell in Austin.
Oh,
you could
nice.
Tell that she's a budding young talent. You know, like definitely a talent. So very fun. And we talked about Big Brave, right? You and I on the podcast. Yeah.
Yes. They're also probably going to start touring soon. So I'm looking forward to that too.
You know, now I'm not 100%, but I'm fairly sure that I'm going to be going to Austin again. You know who's playing there? An Anurag band, Zune.
Oh, really?
Zune's going. Yep.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, they come from all over, and it's so nice. So fun. So
I've seen them. You would go to Austin.
I know I have not successfully convinced you to go Anurag, but I think that
it's always the circumstances, right? This time I couldn't go because I just started a new job and I didn't want to, take off just after I started a job. So we'll see next year.
Some year, because I think you've got this broad musical taste and an ability to, like, better than I do, to, like, really appreciate a lot of genres or, like, a wide variety of things. And there's just, like, everybody is like just like giving their all, you know, and only for 30 minutes. So it's just so fun.
Jason, you've been to South by Southwest?
No, I've never made it down.
No. Oh. So maybe you and I should make a pact for next year. But you have really young kids, so you might have a problem.
It's hard for me to, to do anything.
We'll pencil in Jason for about, let's see. How old's your youngest? Is she 8?
Seven and a half.
She needs to be like 15. She won't want to be around you. So let's see.
Oh, the 11-year-old already doesn't want anything to do with me. So I only got a few more years.
Yeah, but when they're teenagers, when they're 15 or 16, you won't mind leaving them for a few days, right? So let's see. 7 years. So 2030, you're there. I'm signing you up for Austin in 2030.
Nice, yeah.
All right. Okay, thanks, you guys. That was great. Like, all these are just, they're just so fun. I just love it.
Yes.
Thank you for the
next set. Yes.
Yeah, been a great year.
It's been a fun year, and yep, 2024 will be good. Every year is so good, right? Like, there's no bad year for music.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
All right. Thank you again. We will talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.